Since most of us in here have been Christians a good while, you'll understand what I want to talk about tonight. I believe that God has made available to us something that most of us and most of the churches of the world have just simply chosen to do without. I think most of us are a little afraid of it. And most of us are afraid of what it would do if it got into our churches. And I'm talking about the power that God has promised. The power that he promised. Jesus said, and I'll read it in a few minutes, where he said, you will receive it. And he was talking to us. Do we really want that? We can all nod our heads and say, absolutely, we want it, we want it, we want it. Well, we never quite reach up and get it. We never quite reach up and get it. The last thing that Jesus said on earth was a promise to the church. The last thing he said before he went back to heaven was the promise. Now, I said this morning, and I want to underline this again, that the disciples walked with Jesus for 2 years. They listened to him talk. They listened to him pray. They watched him deal with the world. And for 2 years, they really did not understand why he was there. And they didn't understand it because they heard what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear that he was going to throw those Romans out. He was going to restore that Davidic kingdom that they lived for every day of their lives. And they were going to, all these 12 guys were going to have great, magnificent jobs. That was why when Jesus was crucified, they thought the thing was over. But now remember, the last thing that Jesus said to the disciples is in Acts 1:8. Actually, he said it to about 120 people. Now, either God meant this or we have not really claimed it. Now, what Jesus wanted to do was establish a kingdom, but it was a spiritual kingdom. And he had his 120 followers right there. And he wanted to give them the power to establish the spiritual kingdom with a church like this as a major part in it. But it went over their heads. Now listen to what he said now as he starts to leave. He's already been resurrected. He's already been resurrected. And now he's just about to depart. And he says to those people around him, you will receive power. You can underline that. That's a promise. That is something we can take off the table. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, I don't believe in the 2,000 years that we've ever really, really claimed all that God is willing to give us. He didn't offer that power unless he meant it. And he didn't offer that power unless he expected us to take it and use it. He didn't offer that power as just a goodbye. That's a promise. That is a promise. So after 2,000 years, we can look here and there, and there have been flashes of his power. There have been times that God's power did come to the surface. But you and I both know that we have learned to live without it. I recently preached a sermon on all that God is willing to give us, and we've learned to live without. This is one of them right here. If he said that just before he left, and he said that to us, why don't we claim it? You know, in preparing this, I asked myself, you're preaching to yourself, buddy. Why haven't we claimed it? Now, this power that he's offering, it will revolutionize the way we look at the earth. He says, when you get it, you're going to be my disciples. You're going to be my missionaries. You're going to be my outreach. You're going to go to the ends of the earth. But, you know, it's further we go away from the cross, the more we've learned to live without it. Now, I know that every preacher you've ever heard has preached somewhere in his message the meaning of that word power. It's from a Greek word dynamis, which you know translates into English as what? Dynamite. Now, that's what he said. Now, when he said, I will give you power, It wasn't just a pat on the back. It wasn't even a map to follow. Power is, translated it and becomes the awesome power of dynamite, then God has offered us something we aren't claiming. And we don't, and I'm going to ask you in a few minutes, do we even want to claim it? Do we even want to claim it? Because that's awesome power. Every once in a while, a church somewhere or there will get, the power will get in there, and for a while they really turn and burn, but after a while we just lose that enthusiasm. But you know, I tell you about a stick of dynamite, the older it gets, the more dangerous it gets. What an opportunity we have. Listen to these verses. In Luke 5:17, Jesus said, "The power of the Lord was with him to heal." In Romans 1:16, the scripture says, "The gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." It's the energy from God for salvation. It's that thing that drives people who reach up and get that power. In Romans 5:13, it says, "By the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." It will revolutionize the way we live and the way we act. And then in Matthew 9:6, he says, "That you may know that the Son of Man has the authority," that's power, the same word, "he has the power on earth to forgive sin." And that came about when he looked up one day and four men were bringing a paralyzed man, and there was this question, could he heal him or not? Could he heal him or not? And Jesus went through a whole paragraph in your Bible dealing with this for the hearers, and then he looked at the paralyzed man and he said, "Get up, take your bed, and go home." And what do you think happened? He got up and picked up his bed and went home. Now, that's what he said he would give to me and you, what he'd give to the church. But we have learned to live without that. And if you'll just notice the continued use in the Bible of that word power, translated in English as dynamite, he offered it. Now, what this means is Jesus has a tool for the Christians and for the church to use. This is a tool that he has available to us. But I'll say again that we have learned to live without it. We just don't claim it. In our heads, we may want it, but we just never really claim it. We might decide that, well, we don't live in that era anymore. That's not for our time, or our church doesn't do that sort of thing. Or on and on you can go. So my first point tonight is, his power, if I understand this scripture, his power is available to his church. He didn't say, "I'm giving it to you," and not mean it. Or he didn't say, "I'm giving you something, but you will never have any use for it." He looked through the ages and he looked at us and he gave it to us. He gave it to us. Listen to this. In 2 Peter 1:3, Peter put it this way. He says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." In other words, his divine power is given us to do everything we can in his name, as the scripture says, in life and in godliness. There's nothing to hold back. To accomplish this, we can't do it without the power. We can't do it. This is why we play church. You know, we play church, and we grade people on how often they come. We grade them by whatever position they'll take. We grade them for what they do here and there. But listen, we do it in the power of the flesh. And he says, "I'll give you the dynamite." We do it in the power of the flesh. If I understand, look at that verse. Peter says, "It's yours, church." He's saying, "You've been given this, church." Peter is saying, "It's ours for the asking. It's ours for the taking." You know, when you say Jesus' salvation is open to anyone, but you know and I know that no one's ever been saved that didn't accept it. God, no one is going to go to heaven that doesn't accept God's invitation to be saved. Well, no one is ever going to get that power No church is ever going to get it. No Christian's ever going to get it. No preacher's ever going to get it until we actually believe God means it, pray for it, ask for it, and I think it'll come our way. Can you imagine what the church of today could do with just a load of that spiritual dynamite power? What you can imagine? Now, Satan uses power. He uses power every day on you and me, and somehow we recognize Satan's power. We know when the devil is after us. We know when the devil is in our way. We know when the devil gets in our telephone or in our children or in our boss man or somewhere like that. We say, that's the devil. And we're right. And Jesus said, I got power for you, but you don't take it. We don't take it. I asked myself the question when I was doing these notes. You know, you're church members here. Do we really want Pine Hill Baptist Church to be empowered with this liquid dynamite? You know, it's easy to say, yes, 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 we do. Do we? Honestly, do we want things to be empowered, or do we just kind of like it like we've always done it? And you know, we Baptists, we don't like change. We don't like change. You know, we just don't like that, but empowering coming from God would make us change. So this is my second point. God's power is soul-saving in its operation. He said there would nothing be held back for that which would magnify him and his church. Listen, in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, God said, Paul said, for God, our gospel came to you not in word, not only in word, but also in power. He said, when I got down to Thessalonica, I had God's power. It came to you, he said. I was there. It came in word, but it also came in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. No wonder they organized churches. If you can go with that power and unleash that conviction, God's power is unstoppable. If we really believe he's willing to give it, and if we really believe we want it. I ask you again, you know, let's look at our church. What would happen if we got the full power of the Holy Spirit in this gift that's right here? See, this brings people under conviction. This brings people to repentance. This delivers salvation to a lost world if we let it. Every great revival in history has been led by a visitation of the power of God. You know, if you read the history of the church, and it's gone through several great revolutions, reformations, or times of coming back to God, it always started with God's power unleashed on people praying for it, people asking for it, people willing to take it. It's delivered by the Holy Spirit. It's already available, and every church could have it. Every soul could have it. But I come back to ask you the question again. In all honesty, would you like for us to have it? You know, I ask myself, what kind of difference it would make in my life if I claim the power that God has offered me? What a change it would make in our lives if we just allowed what God wants to give us to come on in. To come on in. We asked for it, but do we really want it to come to our church and to come to us individually, personally? You know, we can say yes. We can check all the marks, all the squares, and put yes, yes, and a check mark and everything. But the bottom line is, you couldn't be the same person. We couldn't be the same people. This church wouldn't be the same church if the power of the Holy Spirit began to move that which he's willing to give us. So my third point is, God's power keeps what it conquers. Or I'll put it another way, it keeps what he saved. It's what he saves. Of our salvation, Peter declared in 1 Peter 1:5, he said, by God's power. See, this was a man who knew how to use it and knew how to ask for it and expected it to happen. And he said, by God's power, we're being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. He said, God will empower us and guard us and correct us and bring us to his hands at the end of our time. You know, every new Christian looks at the Christian life and says, I wonder if I can live up to it. I suspect that about 90% of people that ever make a commitment in the church go home, and after looking at the other people around and how the church operated and the leadership and all of that, and begin to wonder, can I live up to that? See, we know our weaknesses. We know our temptations. We know where Satan can get us. We know what he uses to bring us down. And we're right. We can't do it by ourselves. We got to have him. We got to have him. So remember in 1 Peter 1:5, I read a moment ago, he says, by God's power, that's that spiritual dynamite, by God's power, we are being guarded through faith. That power steps up and reacts in a way that we are totally different people. We can be totally different people. Play a little game with me. I want you to imagine the worst sins that you've ever committed. Take a moment. What are the worst sins that you've ever committed in your life? The wrongs? The things that you don't like to think about? Do you know they're not waiting in judgment for you? They're not waiting in judgment for you. As a matter of fact, if you're saved, God doesn't even remember them. See, we remembered them. We remembered them. We remember times, places, dates. We can remember all of that. But remember, when the day you gave your heart to Jesus, he made those things if it never happened. So those things that we thought about a few moments ago are not stored up there waiting for our judgment, not waiting for us to arrive and be judged by it. Their penalty that I talked about this morning are not waiting for us. The things that we know we did wrong before God forgave us, and when we close our eyes in death, it's not waiting there in judgment for us. He promised us his power would cleanse us. Now, the saved, regardless of their past, because of this, we go directly into the arms of Jesus. What I'm saying is God's power bypasses judgment. God's power bypasses judgment. We will not go to the great white throne judgment. People going to the great white throne judgment, 20th chapter of Revelation, are those people who live this life the way they wanted to live it, and Jesus was not a part of it. And think of how many people that we're talking about right now. Because in our county, we have about 25 to 30%, they say, that go to church fairly regular. Fairly regular. So if the Lord were to come back tonight, that's an awful lot of people who won't bypass judgment. But they'll catch it right between their eyes when he comes. When we die, there's nothing between us and Jesus. No judgment. Now, there will be, when you get there, there will be what's called a judgment seat of Christ. That's where God determines your level of reward in heaven. I believe with all of my heart that every one of us will be rewarded in heaven in the light of what we've done on earth with the opportunity he gave us. I don't think in heaven it's vanilla, same flavor all the way across. Now, I may not know what you're getting, and you won't know what I'm getting, but it'll all be on the lives that we've lived. It's all going to be on the lives that we lived. So let's come back to that word power. There is one thing it would revolutionize us individually and our church as a whole if we just believed Acts 1:8. If we just believe what God said, you will receive power. And that's to utilize, not to brag about, not to run around and jump pews and all with. That's a power to use to magnify him. But as I said several times already, we have just learn to live without it. We kind of like things they've always been, like it's always been. But when we like it like it's always been, we'll never have that power. Now, do you want it in your church? I would like for you to go home and pray. Lord, give me that power. And Lord, give my church that power. Give my church family that power. Give us an opportunity in these last days to stand up and be counted and make some progress for you. Get out of our comfort zones. You know, the one thing that I know about that power, it will put us out of our comfort zones. And no one, not any of us, are pleased to be there. But you know, I'll guarantee you, those people that carried the gospel all over the known earth that first 100 years after Jesus went back to heaven and pretty well burned out right there, that thing that sent them from coast to coast was not a pleasant experience. They had to go because they were burning inside in their hearts this year. Go home and pray about that. Let's pray that God will wake up our church. You know, we've been in a meeting there tonight. You talk about how to get people back to church. Well, if we ever have a real coming of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you won't be able to put the people in the church. Now, Jesus said, it's here. Peter said, it's here. So go home and do like I'm doing. What am I doing if I can have that? Why am I so at peace without it? God bless you for being here tonight. Think seriously about this thing. That's a promise he made. We believe he's coming back. He said he was. We believe he'd save everyone that will let him. We believe that. Well, he said, I'll give you power. Dynamite. I'll give you some spiritual dynamite if you'll use it for me. Let's don't live without it. Let's try to get it. Let's try to reach up and take it out of God's hands. Peter said, that's the way we can do it. We reach up and accept it right out of God's hands. Let's stand and be dismissed. Sunday dismisses.